Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lama. Geshe-la is out of the country and won't be back until the beginning of December. So we're taking turns leading on Sundays. So if you've never been to the center before, we're going to stand and do some prostrations. And if you feel uncomfortable doing that, you don't have to participate. There's a little description about prostrations on the front of the prayer book. If you're sitting in a chair, it's behind your seat. That's right, yeah. Okay. So what we're prostrating to are to the holy images, to the teachings that are in those bound Tibetan books. There are 84,000 teachings and commentaries on the Buddhist teachings, and also to our future enlightenment. So if you'd like to join me, we'll do some prostrations. Okay, so if you'll turn to the first base sheet in the prayer book, that's chant the Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times in the four immeasurables in English, and then in Tibetan. Taya ta mune mune mahamunaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune mahamunaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune mahamunaye soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Okay, so let's chant it in Tibetan right below, and then while you're chanting it, try to meditate on the four immeasurables in English. Sen chen tam che de wa dong de we yu dong den pa ju chi du. Okay, and then if you'll turn the page to the pink sheet, and at the bottom, let's chant Green Taurus Mantra and Tenrezig Mantra. Om Mani Padme Hum. mani padme hum. Om mani padme hum. Om mani padme hum. Om mani padme hum. Om tare tu tare tu re soha. 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 Okay, so the children can go to their classes. If your child has never been to a class, would you please accompany your child and find out where to pick your child up? Bye. Okay, so I thought we could start with a stabilizing practice. So it's sort of, it's not quite a meditation. I tried to do a couple of them, but it took too much time this morning. So first we get into the five-point Virachano posture. So what you do is for your legs, you're sitting in a cushion. You try to keep your back higher than your knees to stabilize yourself. If you're sitting in a chair, you can have your feet flat on the floor or on a cushion if that's more comfortable. And your hands are either on your knees or right hand on left with thumbs touching. Your back is like a stack of coins or straight. Shoulders are level. Your elbows are away from your torso. Just let the breeze go, circulate through. Your head is tilted slightly forward, and your eyes are preferably slightly closed with a sort of unfocused in front of you, not wandering around. And if you can't do the practice without closing your eyes, that's fine. You can close them. And then for your mouth, you try to put your tongue on the top of your palate behind your front teeth and try to relax the tension in your body. Feel any pain, you can try to adjust yourself. And then bring your focus to your breath. Going in and out. And if you hear any sounds, train going by, just label it as a sound and bring your focus back to your breath. If thoughts or emotions, projects come up, just label it as a thought, whether it's good or bad, and let it go. And bring your focus back to the air going in and out of your nostrils. So today I'd like to lead a discussion on kindness. It's one of the 16 guidelines. And to sort of frame our discussion, I'd like to read some excerpts from three different works by His Holiness the Dalai Lama so we get a sort of a general view of what the discussion should be about. So in How to Expand Love, His Holiness writes, "This is my simple religion. No need for temples, no need for complicated philosophy. Your own mind, your own heart is the temple. Your philosophy is simple kindness." And in A Human Approach to World Peace, he says, "Whether one believes in religion or not, there is no one who does not appreciate love and compassion. Right from the moment of our birth, we are under the care and kindness of our parents. Later in life, when facing the sufferings of disease and old age, we are again dependent on the kindness of others. If at the beginning and end of our lives, we depend upon others' kindness, why then in the middle should we not act kindly toward others?" The development of a kind heart, a feeling of closeness for all human beings, does not involve the religiosity we normally associate with conventional religious practice. It is not only for people who believe in religion, but is for everyone regardless of race, religion, or political affiliation. It is for anyone who considers himself or herself, above all, a member of the human family and who sees things from this larger and longer perspective. This is a powerful feeling that we should develop and apply. Instead, we often neglect it, particularly in our prime years when we experience a false sense of security. So he says something similar in Kindness, Clarity, and Insight. He says, "When I meet new people in new places, in my mind, there is no barrier, no curtain. I can talk with you as I would to old friends, even though this is the first time we meet. In my mind, as human beings, you are my brothers and sisters. There is no difference in substance. I can express whatever I feel without hesitation, just as to an old friend. With this feeling, we can communicate without any difficulty and in contact heart to heart, not with just a few nice words, but really heart to heart. Based on such genuine human relation, real feeling for each other, understanding each other, we can develop mutual trust and respect. From that, we can share other people's suffering and build harmony in human society. We can create a friendly human family." So, what I'd like to do is to talk about the first topic, and that's to recall an experience in your own lifetime when someone showed a kindness to you. And how did this make you feel? So, I'm going to give you about 10 minutes to think about this. So what I'd like you to do is divide up into like groups of two or three, no more than four, because I want each person to be able to have time to, you know, relate something about their experience that they've had. And then I'll ring the bell and then we'll come back and then maybe share, hopefully share some of those experiences so that you can just break them from groups right now then. Okay, so you can just stay right where you are because we're going to have another topic to discuss. So would anyone like to share about an experience in your own lifetime when someone showed a kindness to you? And I think we need to pass the microphone around. Okay, would anyone like to share some life experience? No one? Oh, Scott.
Not because mine is particularly interesting, but just to get the ball rolling. Just recently I've been working on something that's pretty difficult and pretty challenging, and I have quite a few friends who are helping me do it. And I was just, you know, telling the rest of my group how having that kind of support from people when you're doing something difficult is an incredible motivation to keep doing it. You know, there are certain points where you kind of feel like giving up and you're thinking, no, you know, I have all these people who are cheering for me and helping me out. And just for them, for their sake, I got to keep doing this. So that's one way that, you know, that I related to it.
Thank you. Anyone else? Oh.
I think a theme that our group talked about first was the kindness of our parents over and over. I mean, just to relate one little incident, I remember one time as a farm boy, I was back in the field cutting hay, and, you know, my mother thought it was time for the Little League baseball game, and she came back there to see if I didn't want to go, and she was going to drive me. And, I mean, that she had no interest in going to the Little League game herself. And think of how parents do that hundreds and thousands of times. And they do it for the benefit of their children.
Thank you. Yeah, I remember taking my son to soccer. That was fun. Actually, no, I loved to cheer. I yelled at the top of my lungs the whole time. I think we had someone over here. Yeah.
Our group also had a theme, and I think for each of us it was people who we didn't know who are you okay? who were just happened to be there at the right time for us. So, you know, whether it was when we're 13 and a police officer comes to our rescue, or my grandmother spoke about presenting for, she was in college and she had to present and it was really nerve-wracking. And there was somebody who just offered her a piece of matzah and said it was going to be okay. You know, I mean, these memories have stuck with people, and it was just somebody who we didn't know ahead of time, a perfect stranger who just happened to be there to offer us something. And it was really touching.
Thank you. Anyone else like to?
Maybe what car talk about?
Okay. So in our group, also thematic, but our theme was car stuff. So once Bob got the story rolling, just with somebody stopping to offer to help him make a phone call to duct tape in a bumper that had come unhinged and was riding against the tire, to giving a car. Somebody gave her a car when they needed it and couldn't afford it. At some point I had borrowed somebody's old truck to carry a truckload of stuff that wouldn't fit in my car, and so I'm driving down the highway in this old pickup truck, and it starts spraying fluid and stops running, and I pull over on the side of the road, and so me and my brother are wondering what to do. At this time we didn't have cell phones, and in a flurry of excitement, a guy pulls up who, I mean, this is 8 o'clock in the morning, I don't know if he was going to work or coming from work, he was covered in oil and dirt, very dirty person, and this car was barely running itself, and like 30-year-old BMW. And he gets out, jumps under the front of our truck. He leaves his car running and specifically says something like, don't worry about my car, just I got to keep it running. And he slides under the front of the truck. He kind of grunts a few times, runs, opens up the back of his hatch, and he had, like, tool cases and spare parts and everything. He comes back with a hose, a couple of clamps, and a can of fluid, redoes a hose, clamps it on, pours in the fluid. We crank up the truck. Our truck cranks just fine. He goes, great. Runs. He jumps back in his car, and he drives off. Not, I mean, like, that was, like, the entire interaction. And I know nothing else about the person, but it was a very, very lasting memory.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. So there are a lot of random acts of kindness. There's also, you know, those that are planned, like the ones that where we volunteer at the center, give blood, you know, donate to people in natural disasters, all kinds of things. You know, people, you know, for example, when I just remembered, you know, when I just had a baby. And then my husband, my then-husband, ex-husband, went over to a fast food place to get some food, and he got the food. It must have been late at night. And this was time when there were no debit cards or credit cards. Can you imagine? You know, there was only cash or checks. And he ran out. He didn't have enough money, and he was starving. But someone in he needed a dime. And then someone in the back of the line passed up a dime, so he had it. He told me that he was saved by that. So, you know, people don't even think about things like that. Thank you. That's an act of kindness. Yeah. We're talking about kindness. Yeah. And no one else? No one to share? Someone else?
Fun. Now that my husband's gone, I can say that. He just went out to close the windows. I was just thinking of another category, the everyday things that aren't, there are people we do know, but we come to sort of take for granted, or we notice them, but we don't always say something about it. Like my husband getting up and getting breakfast ready every morning for us, so then I can do the next stage of development to get them out the door. And, you know, he does it every day, and it's just something, hi, yeah. And things like that, it happens all, and I do notice, but I, you know, we don't say it all the time because it seems repetitive. But those are the kinds of things that support us the most, really, because they're all day, every day.
Yes, that's true. Thank you. Okay, well, we can go to the next topic. Before we do, I'd like to read Lama Zopa Rinpoche's advice. Think about how sentient beings are kind to us every day, just so we can stay alive. How it is by the kindness of numberless sentient beings that we can stay alive. For instance, for this one plate of rice, so many sentient beings were harmed when they plowed the land and worked on the land to grow this rice. Human beings worked, and in undeveloped countries, buffaloes and cows also worked by pulling iron through the land to dig the ground. In developed countries, they use machines, and so many ants and mice and so many living beings in the ground are killed. People have to work very hard for this one plate of rice. So let's see. So now on the plate, can you imagine how many rice grains you have? So many thousands of rice grains that we eat with a selfish mind. Can you imagine how terrible that is? We eat only for our own happiness. We have no awareness, no understanding, and we are totally ignorant of how this one plate of rice came, and then all the rest of the grains of rice, how they came from numberless sentient beings. Even if we chant Om Mani Padme Hum one time with the thought to benefit all those sentient beings for whom we receive all the comforts being alive every day and every hour, minute, or second, we must repay their kindness and benefit all the past ones who are unbelievably kind to us. from whom we received all the past food from birth to death. Therefore, it is most urgent. We must repay their kindness. So please, live your life only to benefit others. Please try to think this way and live your life this way as much as possible. That is the most important thing. So now for our second topic is how can we give rise to this kind heart, this feeling of closeness to all human beings? Rinpoche teaches us to look deeply into a plate of rice that we are about to eat and just think about examples of how you can implement, you know, kindness in your lifetime, some acts of kindness that you might do or you have done. And then if you could just, you know, go back to your groups, talk about it. And then if it would be really great if you could share it with the rest of us so we can do that, you know, implement that into our lives. So it's, if we do another 10 minutes. Thank you. And if you see someone that's sitting alone and not, you know, with a group, you know, since we're talking about kindness, would you please invite them to join you? Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's true, like, unlike yesterday. Yeah. Okay, so it's time to start sharing now. So the topic again was how to give rise to this kind heart, ways that we can show kindness in our daily lives. So would anyone like to volunteer? So we would all, so also we can help ourselves in our lives. Anyone?
So this at the beginning of the summer, there was a family camp, put together for Kadampa, right? And part of the weekend was the kindness bowl, and everyone put their name in the bowl, and everyone picked a name of a person and did something kind for them over the weekend. And I thought that was a great way to start to teach children intentional kindness. And I think that it spilled over for me, you know, to intentionally do something kind for people, you know, in my daily life, whether it was taking their shopping cart or, you know, just little things that build up and, you know, just add to kindness all around.
Yeah, that's a wonderful idea. I didn't know that. Thank you. Anyone else?
All right. So kind of came with the idea that I guess it pertains to the rice bowl and, you know, how much it takes for the one grain of rice to get to where it is before you eat it and such. And if you kind of, we're kind of thinking about it, even the everyday device that you have, and I use a smartphone example. The smartphone wasn't invented because Apple decided, hey, you know, I'm going to make billions of dollars off this thing. It was invented to say, you know, what if people could just get information at their fingertips? What if medics, what if EMTs, what if, you know, the police could just have that information that they need right there instead of calling over a report? What if they could just scan somebody's face with a picture and all of a sudden they know, hey, this guy has a history, or this person, you know, blah, 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 or whatever. Hey, this guy volunteers and he's a good citizen. You know, that information, it was invented to help people. And so a lot of the products you use every day were invented because people had an idea of, what if I had this, or what if somebody could do this that would help out so many more people? You know, it's later on things might become, you know, demonized as making too much money or whatever, but the original idea is, what if somebody could do this, or what if somebody had this, you know? So when you go on about your average day, just maybe stop and think about that or look at that, you know? Very few things were invented for pure entertainment or pleasure, and the things that were to make people happy during those times, you know, when they're using them or at those places. So something to think about.
Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, right here.
The theme for our group seemed to be having, and I don't personally do this, and I need to do this, so this is what I learned from the discussion, is to have, you know, intention in the morning, intention of kindness, specific intention of kindness in the morning. I think that's what our theme was. So, that was very helpful to me.
Thank you.
For me, I think what made the biggest difference was just kind of in the way that I viewed things. I used to view helping others or doing volunteer work as this sacrifice that you could logically think of it and say, yeah, that would be good to do. But I would always come up with other things that just seemed better, or maybe a better word would be more entertaining or more enjoyable than actually going and helping someone else. And a lot of that had to do, you know, with the fact that I just wasn't wise enough to see that the volunteer work was actually more enjoyable and more beneficial in the long run for me. So it's almost like a selfish thing, in that everything we do is selfish to some degree. We're just not wise enough to know what's actually going to make us happy. And so I think, you know, once you can clearly see that, oh, wait a minute, this isn't just helping them, it's helping me as well, and then everything changes from that point forward.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's what many of the volunteers at the for the Liberation Prison Project say, and I also volunteer to write to them, and they say that they get a lot more out of it than what they've given, the time and the resources that they have volunteered to give to the program, to the prisoners, inmates, so forth. So anyone else? Okay.
Along the lines of cultivating kindness, one idea that came up repeatedly through several examples, actually, was the idea of first rendering yourself somewhat vulnerable. By that, I mean opening yourself up to the possibility of doing something beyond your comfort zone so that you can allow someone else to actually step into that zone and in doing so exchange a certain amount of energy, ideally positive energy. And by that, I simply mean someone who you maybe wouldn't go out of your way to talk to, stopping to acknowledge them and then listen, or maybe even, you know, doing something someone wouldn't expect in a situation. If someone's expecting some sort of angry response, instead you give them something positive and maybe even take a share of the blame, especially if it's yours to begin with, and acknowledge that. And in doing so, you sort of disarm or change the situation and put back something which maybe wasn't there or couldn't have been there if you didn't allow yourself to be open about it in the first place.
Thank you. Very nice. Anyone else can give us some help in how to do works of kindness, show kindness to other people, to family, friends, strangers, teachers?
So what we spoke about overlaps with a lot of what everyone has said so far, but we also spoke about working on our own minds, meditating so that it can create space to make it easier to be kind to people. I also mentioned how sometimes it's harder to be kind to the people you are closest to because it's just so immediate sometimes, your reactions. So, we spoke a lot about meditating and creating a calmer mind so that it's easier to act kindly towards others.
Oh, yeah.
And also, going back to that kindness bowl, I still remember the act of kindness Sebastian did for me several months ago. It was the sweetest thing. He just gave me a cup of tea out of nowhere, and he asked me what kind of tea, and he brought it to me with such an amazing intention. Mm-hmm. And that makes you feel so good. Mm-hmm. So, little things like that count.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, we're having a little meeting here. I'm going to speak for him. I was seeking permission, but that's what was happening. So I was just thinking one piece we could add as the next step is if sometimes we have such a good heart to want to do something, but we have an idea of how it should be and how it should look when we're doing it. So lowering our expectations about the outcome, you know, just having no idea what's going to happen or expectations of how we want our children to act. So just right there, changing it, but still keeping the expectation idea, if we can just stop expecting them to clean their room, then it would be so much better. And it would, my mind would be so much better. It's really not going to happen, pretty much. So I don't know why it's so important. So just like lowering all that, I think, can help too. And with everybody. So if you look at everybody in the world and you just think, I really do have an expectation of how you're supposed to act to me. And if I could go out there and just stop that, that would be big.
Yeah.
That'd be good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, and the first session I told them about how I was driving and in the parking lot over at Harris Teeter. And, you know, I just heard a wonderful, you know, teaching, and so I wanted to show my compassion and love for all sentient beings. So there was this man who was, standing there, and I was going to park in my space, and I was going to yield to him, sending out great waves of love and compassion toward him, and he was just going like this, and he didn't know that my window was rolled down, but I heard him, and he, because I was saying, no, you go ahead, just like this, and then he was going like this. And then I heard him say, come on, lady. He said, JC. And so I realized that, my intention was there, to be show kindness, but it was, he didn't take it that way. He was thinking it was I was being a little bit irritating him, maybe. So I guess you need a little bit of, wisdom with your compassion, or think that maybe some people won't take it as that. So thank you very much for sharing, all this. So now I thought we could do a meditation on loving kindness to end. So if you could just get back into your position. You can move back to your chair if you like. And just begin by relaxing any tightness, tension, or pain in your body. Get comfortable. And bring your focus to your breath. So again, if you any thoughts, projects, negative emotions arise, just note them as a thought. Whether it's good or bad, let them go. As if there were bubbles floating by. Now visualize in the space in front of you a sphere or beam of white light, transparent and radiant. Feel that the white light emits beams of pure loving kindness to you and every other living being. The light fills your body as if it were like an empty vase being filled with liquid. The light flows down to the tips of your toes and fingers, fills your legs, hands, arms, torso, neck, and head, right up to the top of your head. It fills every cell, atom, and tiny particle of your body. The pure radiant light purifies all of your troubles and pain. Physical pain, sickness, unhappiness, negative thoughts, and the imprints of harmful actions you did in the past. Everything negative in your body and mind disappears like the darkness in a room when the light is switched on. Your body is suffused with blissful, radiant light and becomes clean and clear like a piece of crystal. Your mind becomes calm and clear, free of all disturbing thoughts, and filled with feelings of loving kindness and compassion. You become just like that, positive, loving, peaceful, blissful. Let your mind rest in this experience, thinking without thinking of anything else. Now generate the wish to share this peaceful, loving energy with others in this room so that they too become free from suffering and filled with positive energy. the energy of the loving kindness radiating out from your heart to all directions, like sunlight. Everyone in the room is filled with the energy of loving kindness. Then send it out further to all people in your room and neighborhood. They all become filled with light of loving kindness. Send it out further to all people in your town and the city. There, they all become filled with the energy of loving kindness. Now send the light out to all sentient beings, such as animals, birds, fish, insects, all the living beings everywhere in the world, filled with the energy of loving kindness. Send it out to all sentient beings in the entire universe. Imagine that all of them are filled with the energy of loving kindness. The minds of all beings everywhere, free of negative thoughts, so that now there is peace everywhere. Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing. So now let's read the dedication prayers on the pink sheet and the white bear book. Dedications are also a traditional time to make offerings to the Sangha and Dharma Center. We'll be passing generosity bowls in case you'd like to make a donation to the center at this time, or there are donation boxes in the lobby if you prefer to focus on the prayers instead. And so while... I'd like to read the prayer list. Prayers for a happy rebirth. Geshe Losang Sherub. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters. All the Tibetans have been killed or have taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom. Carl Thomas Adams Sr., Alexa Alston, Faye Dean, Winifred Deutsch, Anita Krauss, Virginia Lytle, Jacob Meadows, Maya Foreman Rogers, Bobby Stott, Eknik Batar, Terence Sudol, Cleo the Cat, Norbu the Cat. Job Search, John Pell, Justin Kelly, Roseanne Barona, James Lillig, J.H. Prayers for health and well-being. Kabje Lamazopa Rinpoche, Venerable Lobsang Chodron, Venerable Margaret McAndrew, Venerable Cherkila. All those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. For the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Jim Barnes, Florence and Jante Constant, Herb Cunningham, Dimitri Diamandopoulos, Richard First, Eugene Flynn, Mildred Gooch, Carlos Haas Weston, Mina Haas Weston, Christina Harrison and family, Francis Hayashi, Leslie and Joan Inman, Kenny Jackson, Buddy, Helen Kasanoff, family of Anita Krauss, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Jason Lentz, Nelson Mandela, Ginny McCoy, Tom McGinnity, Gul Mustafa, Jay Pandya, Pierre Parenteau, Oscar Plazola, Aunt Polly, family of Maya Foreman Rogers, Rex Ross, Eileen Rubin and family, Dr. Albert Sanz, Rosemary Cease, family of Bobby Stott, Losan Tubden, Aunt Barbara Tai, Dion Washington, Dorothy Huertas, Suzanne Williams, Judith Wormser, Andrew Watson, JJ, Pete, Daniel, Don, Jim, Shirley, Tony, Mark, Robert, Gigi. Homeless dogs in Romania, and that the people involved will be empowered to make humane decisions on their behalf, and the dolphins slaughtered in Japan. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good, all-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso. Please remain until samsara ends. Savor the snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion. To the lotus and the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Awatthaya, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as a bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. And let's say seven Tara, green Tara mantras for Geshe-la's long, healthy, happy life and his safe return to the Kadapa Center. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Thank you. Thank you very much. I hope the rest of your Sunday is wonderful.